You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Welcome to Summer Sundays. Now, I love summer and I love Sundays. Now, it's going to be great spending time in community together, enjoying the sunshine. So make sure you stick around after the service. It's going to be a whole lot of fun together. So this morning, my message is called Better Together, Life-Giving Relationships. Now, we're created to do life together. We aren't created to do life alone. We're created to do life in community as the family of God. So this morning, this word is a word of encouragement about how God has created us to be in community. So specifically, there are two values that we have as a church that the message is going to revolve around this morning. The first value is people and community. Now, we love who God loves and we value being connected in community. The second is family. Family is a gift from God and we value strong family relationships in every area of our lives. Now, when we talk about family, we're not just talking about our physical family and our physical family relationships, but having an understanding of our spiritual family and how together we are the family of God. No, we are better together. And we're created to do life together. So what does the Bible say about us being better together? So if we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting from verse 9, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, this verse, it's often used in the context of marriage. Like, you've probably heard it at a wedding before, but the context of it can be used for friendships as well. It can be about our friendships and our relationships with each other. So I just want to go through this quickly, verse by verse, and just look at what the benefits of having life-giving relationships are. What are the benefits of us being together in community? Now, verse 9 says, two people are better than one. You know, we are better together. We can help each other succeed. You know, and succeed means to achieve the desired result. You know, together we can fulfill the mission that God has given us. Together we can fulfill our collective calling that God has given to us. Verse 10 says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. You know, it's about not living in isolation. You know, when we're together, we have a network of support. Because life isn't always easy. You know, there'll be storms, things will happen. But we don't need to walk through these hard times alone. You know, when we're together, we have a community of support, encouragement, you know, people to pray together, to pick you up and reach out when you need it. Verse 11 says, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. You know, regardless of the external environment, you know, it might be cold around you. The environment or situation you're in might not be easy. But when we're together, we can encourage each other and keep each other warm regardless of the environment, regardless of where we are. When the environment is hard, when it's challenging, you know, being in community, it points to truth. You know, it encourages what God says and it helps us to remain focused on Him. Verse 12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. You know, it's good to have someone to support you and encourage you. But standing back to back, what does that provide? It provides peripheral. It provides a greater perspective. You know, sometimes all we can see is right in front of us, but when we're in community together, we have others around us who can watch our back, who can provide perspective, who can provide peripheral. You know, someone to direct you when you're heading down the wrong way, keeping us accountable, but also encouraging us along the journey to continue forward. You know, and verse 12 says, three are even better. You know, we are even better when we live in community as God's family. you know, we're better together. A truth this morning is that life-giving relationships help us thrive. You know, we live our best lives when we live in community together. With life-giving relationships, this is the way that God intended us to live. You know, we're better together. You know, together we achieve the mission. You know, the mission is our collective calling. You know, what God has called us all to, individually and together. But we all have different parts to play in it. You know, we need each other. You know, each person is important to the mission. Each person is important to God. God has purposed each of us uniquely for purpose. If we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "The body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." You know, you're important to the mission. You know, each person is important to the mission. Each person is important to the family of God. You know, the body of Christ. We're all created uniquely for specific purpose. You know, it's only together that we can see the mission fulfilled. You know, God has placed each of us together for purpose, just as he wanted us to be. You know, we each have strengths and weaknesses, but that's why we need to be together. You know, we're created that way. Let's not compare ourselves to each other. You know, you can't compare a foot to a hand because they have different purposes. You know, and that's the same with us. We can't compare ourselves to each other because we have different purposes. We have a collective calling. We have a collective mission. But God has created you uniquely for a specific purpose. You know, and as a family, we support each other and together we can achieve the mission. You know, together we can fulfill what God has called us to do. You know, we are better together. God has planned and purposed us to work together in unity. You know, with life-giving relationships, we can encourage each other and support each other in all that God has for us, all that he has planned and all that he has purposed us for. So how do we have life-giving relationships? Well, the first and most important thing is that the foundation of our relationships has to be Jesus. You know, Jesus has to be the foundation of our relationships. You know, A.W. Tozer said, "Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshippers met together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship." You know, when we focus first on God, we live in unity. God has to be the foundation of our relationships. His grace has to be the foundation of our relationships. You know, it keeps us focused on the truth. It keeps us focused on a foundation that is strong, that doesn't change. You know, we all hold the same values. We follow the same purposes. We're on the same mission together. You know, we're on the same page because we're reading the same page. When we focus first on God, we live in unity. You know, one of the statements in our vision is we see a church that grows together and walks together as a community of people that demonstrates the heart of Christ in words and actions. You know, from Acts 2:42, fellowship, breaking bread, the word of God and prayer. You know, we grow together and we walk together. But how do we do that? You know, Acts 2:42 from the Passion Translation says, "Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teaching of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer." A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. You know, those four things that are in our vision statement, they're key to every gathering that we have at Gateway. You know, whether it be a Sunday, whether it be a connect group, whatever it is, you know, fellowship, breaking bread, the word of God, and prayer. You know, we focus on God in those things, but we focus on God first and then we focus on each other. You know, when we focus on each other, it brings joy and unity. You know, that verse said that they sold their assets to distribute the proceeds. You know, and for us this morning, this isn't to be taken literally. You know, I'm not telling you to sell your house and we'll just live together. But what it does speak of is our devotion to each other. You know, being devoted to God and being devoted to each other. You know, living together. You know, giving, being generous. You know, being devoted to each other. You know, and what I love about that verse is how it ends. Because when we live in life-giving community, restoration takes place. You know, that last line there said, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. You know, if we get this right, if we devote ourselves to God, if we devote ourselves to living together in life-giving relationships, you know, as a result, people come to life. You know, as a result, we see people restored into relationship with God. You know, we see the mission fulfilled. You know, when we live in life-giving community, restoration takes place. So we need to focus on what you're putting in, not what you are getting out. You know, when we approach relationships, we should look at what we can put into the relationship, not what we can get out of the relationship. You know, Acts chapter 4 from verse 31 says, all the believers were in one mind and heart. Selfishness was not a part of their community, for they shared everything they had with one another. The apostles gave powerful testimonies about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great measures of grace rested upon them all. You know, the believers, they focused on God and each other. You know, they were one in mind and in heart, in tune with God. And selfishness wasn't a part of their community. You know, they weren't inward focused. You know, they were outward focused. They were focused on sowing into others, in being in relationship with others. You know, and our relationship's not based on what we can get out, but what we can put in. You know, Jesus provided us with the perfect example of this. You know, the night before he was to be crucified, we see this passage in John chapter 13 from verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, you will never ever wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. And down to verse 12, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, Lord, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. You know, if we think about the time when Jesus and the disciples walked on earth, you know, they wore sandals and they walked through the dust and the dirt. So you probably can imagine that their feet weren't that clean. So the act of Jesus washing their feet is the ultimate act of relationship of devotion and of community. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, spent time washing his disciples' feet in close relationship. You know, this speaks of selflessness, of care, of compassion, you know, being outward focused. You know, and I believe that this passage is important because Jesus spends his last night on earth, you know, not out preaching. You know, he's not out in the community, but he spends his last night on earth modeling for the disciples a lifestyle of relationship. You know, it's so important that we get our relationships right because we are better together. You know, in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it says, "I've left you an example of how you should serve and take care of those who are weak. For we must always cherish the words of our Lord Jesus, who taught, 'Giving brings a far greater blessing than receiving.'" You know, the society that we live in, it says that being blessed is receiving. You know, being blessed equals affluence. But what the Bible says is that being blessed is giving. Being blessed is being generous with our lives, being generous with each other. You know, let's focus on what we're putting into our relationships, not what we're getting out. You know, another thing is that we need to make allowance for each other's faults. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." You know, what is it that we expect from each other? Because nobody's perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. But we are made perfect in his grace. You know, not by any act of our own. You know, and the reminder of that, remembering that God's grace that he extends to us, God's forgiveness that he extends to us, you know, that should spur us on to extend grace and forgiveness to others. You know, make allowance for each other's faults. You know, I'm not talking about ignoring bad behavior, because we can't ignore bad behavior, but we need to allow his grace to lead us in our testing times, in the hard times in our relationships. You know, make allowance for each other's faults. You know, we need to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, it says, "You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity." You know, I love the way that this version puts this passage. You know, be merciful. Endeavor to understand others. Be compassionate. Show kindness. Be gentle and humble. Tolerate weaknesses. Forgive one another, just as Christ forgave us. You know, we carry these virtues. We carry the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's the way that God intended us to live our lives. The way that God intended us to be in relationship with each other. But what I love about this passage is that it starts with us being dearly loved by God. You know, we robe ourselves in the virtues of God, but we are dearly loved by God. You know, our contentedness in life, it has to come from God and God alone. You know, our relationships with each other, they help us to live our best lives. You know, we are better together, but they can't be the source of our contentedness. You know, having a true understanding of our identity is so important. Now, understanding that we are forgiven, that we are loved by God, that we are his children. You know, and do we see each other the same way that God does? You know, do we look at each other through the eyes of God? Or do we look at it through our hurts and our disappointments? You know, God's love for us is so far reaching. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." You know, we need to understand who we are in Christ. That our contentedness comes from Him. You know, His love for us, His grace that He extends to us. You know, we understand who we are in Christ, a new creation. And we need to understand that that is the same for each of us. That we each carry that same identity that God has put upon us. So life-giving relationships. You know, what are the opportunities that we have to walk together, to grow together? You know, we have connect groups starting up again soon. You know, we have community and family on Sundays, you know, spending time in the cafe after the service together. You know, summer Sundays, what a great opportunity we have today, you know, just to hang out, just to enjoy each other's company. Family dinners, you know, invite someone around for dinner. Come on, let's do relationship together. You know, we have prayer meetings on. We can pray with each other. You don't even have to wait for a prayer meeting to pray for your friends. You know, we can pray each day for each other. You know, all of these are opportunities for life-giving relationships. Because if we get this right together, we can achieve the mission. You know, there's something powerful that happens when the church stands in unity. You know, when the church walk in unity toward a common goal to see the mission fulfilled, there's something powerful in that. You know, in 2019, you know, let's walk together. Let's encourage one another. Let's stand with one another. Pray with each other. Come on, you know, let's champion each other on, because it's only together that we can be our best. You know, we is always better than me. You know, together we are better. You know, I just want to finish by reading this verse and then we're going to sing together. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." You know, we are better together. Hope you're encouraged by that, church. Well, why don't we stand to our feet?